The construction industry in Indiana has depended on Quality Supply and Tool, a local family-owned business, to deliver quality sales and service over the last 25 years. The employees make the difference, like sales expert Nick Worley.
What sets us apart is we only offer quality tools and supplies from quality manufacturers. We have a quality trained sales and service staff knowledgeable of the products we sell and offer. Quality. It's in our name.
On South Harding Street in Indy, plus Jeffersonville, Bloomington, and Lafayette, Quality Supply and Tool thinks outside the box. Store.
Only the best run here at the Indianapolis 500.
Mario, who do you feel you'll have to beat in this year's race?
People like A.J. Foyt and Bobby Unser, for instance.
Stand by for the checkered flag.
Absolutely incredible. Danny Sullivan spun in front of Mario Andretti.
A.J. has done it.
Beyond the Bricks with jQuery and Mike Thompson on 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
Greetings, how are you on this fabulous May evening in preparation for the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race? My name is jQuery, Mike Thompson, the other voice that you hear on this program. We call it Beyond the Bricks. And we are counting down the days now. We are well within it, of course, within range, enough so that we can start to look at the meteorological forecast and then immediately dismiss the meteorological forecast. As we get closer to Sunday and, of course, Carb Day on Friday, the magic around all of it, it goes without saying, as the greatest time of year. Mike, I am thrilled for tonight's show because those that listen to this program that live in the Indianapolis area, and I certainly understand that we have listeners and we're very grateful for it all over that listen to it, in particular in podcast form, but many of our listeners that live in the Indianapolis area know that on the station where this show primarily broadcasts, 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan, our friend JMV on crosses over, and on Saturday night, another of our sister stations, B105.7, he does the All Request Saturday Night. And it harkens us back to the glory days of radio, right? Not that we're not still in the glory days, but the glory days of the Saturday night, you know, All Request Night. And we're not talking about necessarily Casey Kasem getting upset about long-distance dedications that come off of a happy song when it's about a passed-away dog, right? We're not going to do that.
I would love to be able to play the Casey Kasem Snuggles clip. Unfortunately, it is not safe for radio. So there, we would lose our license, and that would be the end of that.
I think most people are familiar with it, right? I mean, how can I do that with an upbeat song?
Is Don on the phone?
He does ask that, doesn't he? Get him on
he
the
does.
Phone
is,
now.
Is Don on the phone? I want a concerted effort to not come up out of these upbeat numbers.
Mike, we might be the only two people that know what we're talking about, but it is fantastic, right?
It is. It is. It's one of the greatest clips in radio history.
Couple of house cleaning items before we get to tonight's show, and it's going to be a good one on Beyond the Bricks, and we're looking forward to it. And you can tell we're a little punch drunk anyway, so we're going to have fun with it. But a couple of house cleaning items. Number one, if you are listening to this before Thursday, which numerically, now Elijah, I will let me know what day Thursday numerically is. Is that the 23rd?
Yes, it is.
So Thursday the 23rd. If you are listening in the Indianapolis area, Thursday, May the 23rd, from 5 until 6 p.m., all of the drivers from Arrow McLaren Racing will be at the Kroger on Speedway in Speedway on Crawfordsville Road. So we would love to have you come out. It is a fabulous thing that is put together each and every year. And my understanding is that that includes Kyle Larson. So we look forward to being able to do that with Arrow McLaren. They'll have show cars that are available there for you to see. You can meet the drivers. You're going to need to get there early to get in line for an autograph. But the good news is, if you get there an hour early, I will be there at 4 o'clock. And so it is always fun. I have a great time doing it. So many people have asked me if that's going to be the case this year. And in fact, I will be stepping out of the Bet365 Command Center where we are right now broadcasting this show and get out there to Crawfordsville Road in Speedway at Kroger to meet all of you as well as the drivers from Arrow McLaren. That would be Pato O'Ward, Callum Ilott, Alexander Rossi, and as well Kyle Larson. Now, Mike, you also have upcoming events in Central Indiana to talk about.
We do. We have this big world's largest indie memorabilia show coming up as well in Plainfield, and that is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So that'll be exciting. And I just found out some huge news that Emerson Fittipaldi has agreed to sign autographs at the memorabilia show on Friday. So, yes, I was very excited to hear
about that. Cool, because Emerson Fittipaldi, if I'm not mistaken, now lives in Brazil, correct?
I believe that is the case.
So yeah, it is so not often that he comes around, but I'm guessing probably here to see Pietro run in the race on Sunday as well.
That's correct. Yeah, so he'll be there from 3 to 4 on Friday. So I'm very excited about the memorabilia show. As people know, I am the co-vice president of the National Indy 500 Collectors Club, and I will be there set up as a vendor with my wares, if you will. And, you know, I always have a good time. I really enjoy it because I meet a lot of people who listen to the show and they talk about the show. And so it's a lot of fun. It's the thing I look forward to the most every year is going out to the show. So the Indy Memorabilia Show is at the Embassy Suites Event Center out on Perry Road in Plainfield. And that is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay, so give me the information one more time as to where the memorabilia show is taking place and how people can get involved, Mike.
It's the Embassy Suites, the Event Center, 2353 Perry Road in Plainfield. And it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is the show. And there'll be autograph guests all 3 days. I know Ari Leyendijk is doing Thursday, and Johnny Parsons and Jack Hewitt, I believe, is doing it. And I haven't seen the complete list. I think Derek Daly's doing it one day. Mel Kenyon, I know, is doing it on Saturday. So there are autograph guests all 3 days. So it's 3 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, 3 to 7 p.m. on Friday, and 9 to 4 on Saturday.
We've got a great show lined up tonight, as we talked about. And thank you for that, Mike. And when it comes to memorabilia, you have some audio memorabilia that is fun, and that is kind of the first of our requests tonight. It wasn't a request that we took necessarily on a phone line, but Mark Janes, who is the chief announcer of the IndyCar Radio Network and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, we were discussing over the course of the weekend in the booth, and I think he later mentioned it within the broadcast, his admiration for some of the broadcasters that preceded us, not only on the radio network, but on the public address as well. Some of those are names that perhaps people know the voice, the cadence, but maybe they don't know the story behind the name. Mike, tell me about the first name that we are going to discuss tonight and the cadence of a voice that I think people are going to find very familiar.
Well, I thought this was kind of cool because I was listening to you and Mark on Friday calling practice coverage, and he mentioned the great John Totten and how much he admired John Totten. And when I was thinking about this kind of all request show, and he was talking about, oh, you know, how much he admired John Totten, I said, well, there you go. There's a good request. So we can talk a little bit of John Totten. But John Totten worked on the public address system with Tom Carnegie. And it was almost like a Lennon and McCartney, almost like a symphony type partnership, because, you know, Tom Carnegie would give the, you know, the speed and the, you know, do all the booming sound. But John Totten would take the cars around the track, and their partnership, it was almost like a Lennon and McCartney type, you know, partnership. They were magic together. So if you didn't get a chance to hear that, it was really something special to hear when John Totten and Tom Carnegie were working together on the PA.
They were magic together. So clearly the antithesis of this program, right? Needless to say, but I kid, of course, Mike. But John Totten, indeed, I think most people, when they hear calls, they will immediately remember the name in terms of describing different qualifying runs in particular at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that we will get to. But first, here is the historian emeritus of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Donald Davidson, discussing John Totten.
Jim Phillippe would typically do the post-qualification interview, and Carnegie would do the setup for during the warm-up laps when there would be up to three. And then he would give the time and speed report, which would normally be when the car was over in the third turn. But in the meantime, he would turn it over to another announcer. It used to be Chuck Bailey, and then John Totten got it. And John Totten would follow the cars around, which you can't do now because of the, you know, there's some suites in the way. But he'd follow them with binoculars. And so It said, okay, you know, and here he comes and takes the green flag. And then it would, John Totten would take over. And so he would do, you know, just below the yellow line or just a foot and a half above the yellow line, halfway around on this one. And normally, right after you'd hear him say halfway around on this one, then Carnegie would come in, here's the time and speed report, you know, 55 and 68 one-hundredths or whatever it was. And so... Anyway, John Totten did that, and I remember that the day when Gordon Smiley crashed, and that was a horrendous accident.
And my first day at the Speedway.
Was it really?
And the first car I ever saw on the track.
Well, Tom Carnegie was doing the build-up, because Gordon Smiley, it was a qualifying run, but he hadn't taken the green yet. So John Totten was following him around with the binoculars as he would be, and then he had the accident. And I remember that I'm sure that it would have been Tom Carnegie, unless he was taking a break and somebody was coming in, you know, substituting. But he was basically doing the build up, and then you heard John Totten say, "And we have a problem at the north end." And I was amazed at his composure, because when you realize later what he had seen through the binoculars, and, you know, I don't need to elaborate on that. You either know what I'm talking about or you don't. I mean, what an astonishing thing that normally you would, you know, would have just had something. You would have been at a loss for words, perhaps. But anyway, John was great, and I remember that when he used to be on Channel 6, he did sports on a Sunday night, and he would always do all of the auto racing items first, and he would do not just the major events and the stock car race, NASCAR race, but he would do the sprint race and the midget race. Then he would get to the stick and pole results. So yeah, he was great.
It was obviously a devastating day with Gordon Smiley's crash on May 15th of 1982, but there also was a record-breaking run that took place that day, Rick Mears' pole run of 1982, and as Mike has it listed, you are their audio. In other words, I want you to close your eyes, folks, and pretend you're in, let's say, turn number one, or perhaps you're in turn two in the Southeast Vista. Maybe you're along the paddock. You're listening to the public address system, and you are watching Rick Mears on his 1982 pole run. This is how it sounded on the public address.
He is indeed on it, Jim, and he's using all the racetrack. A little different pattern on the Kevin here. A little higher through the turn, slightly through the stroke shortening. He's down maybe 80 feet off the wall as he goes down the back stretch. It is Rick Mears, car number one. Sets up for turn number three. Goes down on the line with the left side rubber. High line off the three. Goes to the wall with the nose shoe. Goes down through the line with the left side wheel.
.004 miles an hour would be the pole speed for Rick Mears. Mike, there is nothing to be said other than it is magical to hear that.
Yeah, that was actually from my first day ever at the Speedway. That clip we played with Donald, that was from the only time I ever got to solo host the Talk of Gasoline Alley with Donald, which was one of an absolute dream come true for me. That was just one of the greatest days of my life. But that was the audio we just played of Rick Mears breaking the record. That was from my first day at the Speedway. And so it's a very, very special clip. And it's just amazing to have that real you are there. Like you said, you can put yourself at any point of the track and just imagine Rick Mears on that record run. And those are the sounds of exactly how it was that day.
Tom Carnegie, of course, was the maestro of the public address. John Totten was fabulous. Tom Carnegie himself, it goes without saying, as Donald talked about, just the magic of the way Carnegie could create the drama and pay off the drama. 1983 was a special year at the Speedway. Of course, we've talked a lot about the fact of the great finish with Tom Sneva winning the race, Al Unser trying to hold off Tom Sneva, Al Unser Jr. as a rookie. And by the way, Al Unser Jr. will join me tomorrow in studio at 12:30 on my show on 93.5 107.5 The Fan, if you'd like to hear Al Unser Jr. talking about probably that race and 1994 as well. But if you were sitting in the stands once again, perhaps you've got your Jugs catering or you stopped at Kroger or MCL for your proper box lunch in 1983 and you are awaiting the race, the running of the Indianapolis 500 in 1983. This is Tom Carnegie on the public address setting the scene. Teo Fabi, the pole sitter, would lead the first 23 laps of that race, and it was right around the time when that audio there went out, after the first lap or so, when my dad turned around to me in the Southeast Vista and asked what gum I had just put in my mouth. It was, of course, the title sponsor handouts from the pole sitter, Teo Fabi, known as Skull Bandits, that they had handed out as samples. My dad very quickly let me know that that actually was not chewing gum, and fortunately, it was expectorated quickly. But magical day, and to hear that, I've got to be honest with you, Mike. We've been doing this show now for 4 years. You have pulled some incredible audio. I'm not sure that any of it is probably more magical for people to close their eyes and listen to if they could listen to one thing for the rest of the evening than simply those kinds of moments. It is wonderful to hear.
Yeah, and I love the Carnegie clip in the last one we just played with the, you know, waiting. He was just so good.
Eyes on the starter. That was always, yeah, the best.
Yeah, just so good at setting things up and the theater. You know, he was just brilliant at that. So I'm glad that we were able to share that with everybody.
And the other thing, too, that you forget is that back in those days, of course, it was before you had video boards all around. So Carnegie's job was to consistently repeat, because you forget that there were people that if the entire field was in front of them, it sounded odd to you on the opposite end of the track if you heard him repeating things, but he had to, because if the field was in front of you, you had to have him say it a few times before you got to hear what it was that he was saying. Of course, Tom Carnegie was the public address system along with, or on the public address system along with John Totten at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. That is not in Ohio, but Bill in Blue Ash, Ohio, heard a story that perhaps the Indianapolis 500 would in fact move to the Queen City down I-74. Donald Davidson decided that he would play Mythbuster in regards to that rumor.
This new board track was built. I mean, with the opening of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, there were a number of other tracks that, you know, everybody thought they could duplicate.
Hey,
it's
a good idea.
So, I mean, every week there was announcements about this track and that track. Most of them never even got started, but many of them did, and those that did, some of them fell on hard times very early on. Well, there were speedways all over the place by 1914, 1915. So this track was built in Cincinnati, and Carl Fisher was becoming very annoyed at the local hotels. Now, this is 100 years ago, and his friends would complain about the fact that they would come to the Indianapolis 500 and the hotel rates would be jacked up. And I'm not sure if they had the three-day minimum yet, where you had to pay for 3 days even if you're using it for one. But they did jack the rates up considerably. And so he complained to them, and nothing much happened. And so he actually threatened to move the 1916 race, or was it 17? He actually threatened to move it to Cincinnati. I think it might have been 1917. Now, we didn't know that that America was going to be involved in the war. So I'm sort of bringing this back in my mind while I'm talking. But I think it was in the winter of the fall of 1916. They hadn't announced a race yet, and they didn't for the longest time. And so during the winter, he was actually, you know, playing the game and threatening to move it to the track at Cincinnati. And so when they finally resolved it, I think it was like maybe March of 17, by which time the hostilities in Europe had become more and more intensified. Mm-hmm. And I've gone through the microfilm day by day, and you read the front page, and are we going to be in the war, or are we not going to be in the war? And I think it was like March before he resolved the situation with the hotel people and said, yes, we will run the 500-mile race. And they had to send the entry blanks out and all the ticket orders and everything. It was just like a couple of months to go. And then within about a week, then they canceled it because the United States had entered the war. Anyway, that track, I don't know that survived the war. I think it was just very, very short-lived. And but Joe Boyer, I think, may have won a race down there. I guess I'll have to get up on my Cincinnati board track history. But typically, I think there were like 31 board tracks total, and the typical life was 2-3 years. Altoona was the last of the longest. That went from 1923 to 31.
Donald Davidson talking about, I guess, Mike, what narrowly avoided being the Cincinnati 500, right?
That's right. And it sounds like it was potentially on the move with the hotel dispute going on. So there's the question that was requested, and we were able to help out Bill and Blue Ash tonight with that answer.
When we come back, today was the American Dairy Association of Indiana's fastest rookie luncheon. Tom Carnegie is one that himself was known to pitch milk, if you will. Tom Carnegie talking about dairy. That and more when we return to Beyond the Bricks.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
A musician with technical knowledge can play all the right notes, but one who cares enough to play from the heart gives music soul. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Even if you don't have a Kroger store nearby, you can still get Kroger groceries delivered that are guaranteed fresh. Order on the app and your groceries hit the road. With prices so low, you won't believe the savings. Get $25 off your first two orders, plus unlimited free delivery for $59 a year with a Boost membership. We'll bring all the fresh groceries you need from the store to your door. Kroger, fresh for everyone. $35 minimum order excludes alcohol and gift cards. Offer valid on delivery only with a digital coupon. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
This is Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Tradition is nothing new in the month of May, but imagine this. What if cars were powered not by normal fuel, but by milk? And what if they weren't cars, but cows?
And they're on it. Messi the Holstein leads the herd into turn one. Back to you when she gets to turn two. Now a word from our local sponsor.
This race is brought to you by your local Indiana dairy farmer.
Let's go to turn two where we have an incident. It seems there's a four-cow pileup in the infield grass. No, wait, they're eating the grass. Let's go to Frank in the pit.
Head stop for the Guernsey team. Milking machine attached to clean. Hay is being forked in, and she's still in the milking machine. Let's go back to Tom in turn two.
Frank, there's a sign out here in turn two that reads, show us your udder.
Okay, maybe some traditions shouldn't be changed, but imagine you win the race, and imagine how good that smooth, ice-cold bottle of milk would taste in Victory Lane. All you need is milk. Oh, yeah, and a really fast car. Got milk.
Mike, I'll be honest. I don't know that pile up and cows should be used in the same advertisement, right?
I agree. There's a lot to pull out of that particular advertisement.
There's a lot going on there, right?
Yeah. I don't know about that. But I had to play that today because obviously today was the Dairy Association's fastest rookie lunch. And I got to say, it's a good thing Kyle Larson's as good at his job as he is, because he does not, I don't believe, have a future in the FFA, you know, Future Farmers of America, because I don't think he wanted any part of the whole milk and the cow thing.
And you know what's interesting is he was there with his wife, who was delightful, and Kyle Larson was great at the luncheon today. And she apparently is an FFA veteran, or at least grew up in the farming industry, and I guess grew up around beef cattle, so she was a little more experienced with it. But Larson did receive his check for $10,000. The winner of the Indianapolis 500-mile race will receive a check for the same. I erroneously, during the banquet today, I read it wrong, and I announced that they were giving $100,000. So I owe the American Dairy Association $90,000, it would appear. But they were wonderful about it. Thank you to Jenny, Brooke, Sally, everybody at the American Dairy Association for having us out to MC that today with Derek Schultz and myself. And we look forward to seeing who will take the famous swig of milk to signify that they have won the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. That is Mike Thompson. My name is Jake Query. By the way, again, Mike, remind everybody, memorabilia show coming up. Go ahead.
That's correct. In Plainfield at the Embassy Suites Event Center on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week. So looking forward to that, hoping to see a lot of people out there.
For right now, we are inside the Bet365 Command Center with this episode of Beyond the Bricks. Going with our On Request, and On Request Tuesday night, another loyal listener over the years, Josette Torres of Blacksburg, Virginia, which I believe is the home of James Madison University, wanted to know more about Hoosier astronaut Gus Grissom's involvement at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And we're in luck because in 1966, Sid Collins interviewed Grissom on the Speedway Radio Network.
the Master Control Tower at Indianapolis once again. A very special guest dropped by to say hello to us for a few seconds. Major Gus Grissom, our astronaut, of whom we're very proud, from Mitchell, Indiana. He's here with the boys, Scott and Mark, today, and I hope you're all having a good time, Major.
Oh, yes, Elijah. We're enjoying it. We've been looking forward to this race for a long time.
Well, how does the speed out here on the racetrack compare with that in a capsule? They tell me you can't even feel speed in one of those.
Well, that isn't quite true. We can tell that we're moving very rapidly across the Earth, but it's a different element, so it's a different type of speed. This is something, really something here.
I know your friend and ours, Jim Rathman, said he'd like to have been an astronaut. Would you like to have been a race driver?
Oh, yes, I'd still like to race.
And the boys are enjoying it, too.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Sam.
Gus Grissom, we're very proud of him from Mitchell, Indiana. And thank our friend, General Howdy Wilcox, who is in charge of our National Guard here, now living in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you, Fred, very much for bringing him by, too. Gus Grissom from Mitchell, Indiana, was in the parade this morning before the track started with the action of the race cars out here, received a tremendous applause from this crowd.
By the way, as soon as I said it, I realized it is Virginia Tech that is in Blacksburg, Virginia, along with Josette. Harrisonburg, Virginia, or Harrisburg, maybe it's Harrisburg, Virginia. I think it's Harrisonburg, is where James Madison is. I always got those confused. But no confusing this fact. Gus Grissom was involved in the Speedway beyond just that interview. He actually was briefly a car owner at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Speedway historian emeritus Donald Davidson has the story.
The GCR Corporation with Jim Rathman, and it was Gordon Cooper and Gus Grissom. So GCR was Grissom, Cooper, and Rathman. And they didn't have much luck. They did, that was 66 and 67, and then it went away. And I think the best finish that I can think of was Art Pollard was fourth at Milwaukee, but they never did get a car in the race at the Speedway. They had the Pure Oil Special in 76 with Leroy Yarborough, and it was crashed on the last qualifying day by poor Greg Weld, and then they were here with two cars in 67, and neither one of them made it. But they did run a few races, but the thing was dissolved at the end of 67. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
And Gus Grissom, when Donald mentions that the team continued into 1967, Gus Grissom, of course, unfortunately, had sadly passed away already by that time. He died in January of 1967 in the Apollo 1 pad fire. So he had already passed away, and they continued the team after he passed away very briefly. But sadly, Gus Grissom had passed away by that point already. So. You know, a terrible, terrible loss when we lost Gus Grissom and Roger Chaffee and Ed White in the Apollo 1 pad fire.
There has long been, and recently still, connection to not only Purdue University in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but also just from a scientific standpoint. For example, when the total eclipse took place just about a month ago in Indianapolis, and the eclipse came through and Indianapolis was in the path of totality. Purdue partnered with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, where a huge crowd came out. It was great fun. NASA was there as well to explain to people, young and old, exactly what was taking place. And then, of course, Purdue University now with the only accredited racing engineering program in the United States of America. But of Purdue, Mike, is well known for, when it comes to their science program, the king daddy of them all when it comes to Purdue and their astronaut program would be one who is actually from your area of Ohio.
That's right. Neil Armstrong is from Wapakoneta, Ohio, which is not far from where I'm from in Toledo, Ohio. So we're very proud of Neil Armstrong because he's from the 419 like I am from. So, but what was interesting about it is that there may be a connection to the Speedway that Donald explains a little bit about, that Neil Armstrong may have actually been at the Speedway with the Purdue band, which I thought was kind of a fascinating little connection.
Here's Donald Davidson.
It came to light, or somebody brought up not too many years ago, that Neil Armstrong was in the Purdue band. So then the question became, did he march or appear on race morning? And nobody yet has been able to say yes. Apparently, he was very, very quiet, very much, kept to himself. And so if he was here, I would certainly like to know about it, and I think others would too. Fashion, if anybody can actually show us he was there, I'd love to see that.
Not sure if, since Donald talked about that, Mike, whether or not that verification has come through, but I guess certainly not anything to say to the contrary of the late hero Neil Armstrong. Now, when it comes to the Purdue Marching Band, of course, they are synonymous with playing accompaniment for the singing of Back Home Again in Indiana for years at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Phil from Greenfield. Now, Mike, he mentions that you play the Peter DePaolo Back Home Again version a lot, but he had a question about another Phil, correct?
That's correct. Phil in Greenfield said that we tend to play the Peter DePaolo Back Home Again in Indiana version, which we do, and we have a little bit of fun with that every year. But he said that we don't give very much love to the Phil Harris version of Back Home Again in Indiana, which is a little bit different. It's a little bit more of a spoken word version from Baloo the Bear. Of course, Phil Harris played Baloo the Bear as the voice in the Jungle Book, the Disney movie. So he was a little disappointed that we don't give enough love to the Phil Harris version because he thinks it's on par with the Peter DePaolo version. I thought if we played it tonight, people at home could decide which version they like better between the Peter DePaolo version and the Phil Harris version.
Okay, here it is, Phil Harris with his version of the song.
Indiana, and it seems that I can see that gleaming candlelight still shining so bright through those sycamores for me. That new mown hay sends out its fragrance from those fields and fields and fields I used to roam. When I dream about that moonlight on the Wabash, then I long for my Indiana, long for my Indiana, love my Indiana.
Linton, Indiana, as a matter of fact. I'll be honest, Mike, I didn't dislike it. Your thoughts?
No, it's a little a cappella version. I mean, and plus, it's Baloo the Bear, man. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to give Baloo the nod on this one, I think.
It's hard to go against that, is it not?
I agree.
Hard to go against Baloo the Bear. How can you go against Baloo the Bear? When we come back, one of the legendary voices, both in television and radio, of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and his own harrowing experiences just outside of the track. That when we continue on Beyond the Bricks.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Once upon a time... Forget the fairy tales and get ready to journey past the stars, beyond imagination, to a place where we really do defy gravity. A place where flying through space at 24,500 miles per hour is less about make-believing and more about making it happen. A place with real rockets, real astronauts, and real adventure. Discover something real. Only at Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
During the Indianapolis Motor Speedway season, we see lots of families here. Hello, I'm Paul Page for Participating Standard Dealers.
I enjoy seeing families come back year after year. It's a tradition. As kids grow up, marry, and bring their kids to share Indy's excitement. There's a tradition shared by the Amoco and Atlas family of tires, too. It's one of long, dependable service to Americans and their family cars. You and your family deserve the best. That's why Standard dealers suggest you take a look at their best, the Atlas steel-belted Golden Air 2 radial white wall, on sale now for as low as $44.95 each, plus federal excise tax for size BR7813. Other sizes available at comparable savings, and prices may vary from dealer to dealer. This offer ends June 23rd. Come into any participating Standard dealer where you see the All-Pro Savings Tire sign and charge it with your Amoco, Torch Club, or Diners Club credit card. At Standard, you expect more from a leader.
Paul Page, chief announcer, Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, anchor, ABC Television, and of course, WIBC newsman here on Beyond the Bricks. Jake Query along with Mike Thompson from the Bet 365 Command Center. Elijah Roberson, because I can never remember how to pronounce his last name, flying the controls for us. It is Roberson or Roberson, Elijah?
It's Roberson. The Roberson. Easiest way to remember it is like you're robbing someone's son. Rob your son.
Okay. Well, we'll have you back to your parents, I promise, here shortly. Because final segment here of the program, Paul Page, by the way, that you just heard from. Chris in Charlotte, North Carolina asked the question, wait a minute, guys. Is this not the 50th anniversary of Paul Page's debut on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network? Yes, in fact, Chris, it is. Here is some of the rare audio of Sid Collins, who had handpicked Paul Page for his race day debut. Sid Collins and Paul Page in 1974.
As we roar with the cars out of turn four, we move into the pits. It's much longer this year, 856 feet longer to be exact, and 5 feet wider than a year ago. We have five men roaming this distance compared with three in past years. And starting with our second rookie, we begin to move down the crucial pit area. In his high school yearbook, this young man's ambition, as he listened to the 500 broadcasts on the radio, was to someday be a part of this team. Today, 11 years later, he's realizing that desire. In the North Pits, also with three rookie stripes on his microphone, is Paul Page.
Thank you, Sid, and it is indeed a pleasure, and I'm quite proud to be here today. I'm standing on new concrete. This is the new extension to the pit area. From here, I have a clear view to the number four turn, where the wall has been moved back, as Jim Shelton mentioned, and this pit entrance has been widened. This should be an action area when the green flag comes out later today. Back to you, Sid.
Thank you, Paul, and welcome to you as well as a new member of the broadcast team from Indianapolis.
And as a member of WIBC, Paul Page was in their helicopter when he had a terrible, an unfortunate helicopter crash in Speedway, as a matter of fact. He told Mike about it in 2014.
One thing people may not remember about your career, you were the voice of the 500, but you were still doing other things here at WIBC. I mean, it wasn't that you were just doing racing and then just sitting, yeah, you know, sitting around. You were doing traffic reports and all that type of thing.
Well, I'm very proud of my time with WIBC. Started in 1970 as a news reporter. In my world, I was trying to be a disc jockey about that time because I like music. But they didn't have any disc jockey jobs at WIBC, or they did have a news job, and I just fell in love with reporting, and I had some great people, Luke Palmer, Fred Heckman, Bob Hoover, to teach me how to be a good reporter, how to be a good journalist. And I still think those lessons from that day have served me very well in everything else that I have done since then, because I know how to research a story. I know how to conduct an interview and get it to a point. The station decided they wanted helicopter traffic reporting. It was kind of amusing because we didn't have any real traffic problems. But what I was really to be was a foil for the morning guy and the afternoon guy, Gary Todd and Chuck Riley. And so we just had fun with it. And, you know, I'd say things like, that's my report. I'm going out on the porch now and have a cold iced tea or something. And I go, you're on the porch? You got a porch on that? Yeah, oh, yeah, I got a porch. So we do a lot of that, a lot of tongue in cheek and a lot of fun. But then I became the voice, and that was one day a year. I still needed employment, and I liked WIBC. I was going to leave that. And the year that I took over for Sid, later in December 1st of that year, the helicopter decided to stop flying. And it didn't do it in that wonderful way where you auto-rotate and glide to the ground. We had a total main rotor failure, and we fell 500 feet. Linnet landed on the Speedway High School athletic field. Biggest touchdown they've ever had, I'll say that. But we were all badly injured. And it's funny because I was going to start on vacation the next day, and I'd actually mentioned to the company, there's some things with the helicopter I'd like you to look at. So it changed it and a number of other things. The opportunity to do the 500, the NBC television network was getting ready to do a lot of racing, so they called me. So things changed. I took a job with Channel 13 locally, but it was essentially part-time because I had this opportunity to do all these other network things, and finally the network just took over, and that's all I did.
Final minute tonight, and Paul Page, it was a pleasure to be able to call him in the most peripheral and extreme circumstance, because certainly I'm not to that level, but to say a colleague, because he returned to the radio network and did it in 2015 and 2016. So working with Paul was a true pleasure and honor. And he does still walk with somewhat of a limp from that incident of which he was talking. But interesting stuff there tonight. Mike, one more chance. Let us all know about the memorabilia show that is upcoming and the news of who will be there beyond just yourself.
Paul Page will be there actually signing autographs on Saturday. So that'll be kind of cool for folks to get a chance to meet Paul and get an autograph from Paul Page. He'll be there with Mel Kenyon and a couple other people on Saturday. And Friday, Emerson Fittipaldi, Derek Daly, Pippa Mann, among others, will be on there on Friday. And on Thursday, Ari Leyendijk, Johnny Parsons Jr., Jack Hewitt, and Donnie Beachler will be there, and some other folks. So it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Embassy Suites Event Center on Perry Road in Plainfield. And it's going to be a good time. I think everybody will have a good time out there. 3 to 8 on Thursday, 3 to 7 Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday.
Allanser Jr. tomorrow, 12:30 on The Fan. For Mike Thompson, I'm Jake Query. This has been Beyond the Bricks.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.